First of all, welcome to the second session. Today we have some stuff on the put up on the wall that we've come to yesterday, conclusions we've come to yesterday, and where we're picking up now is thinking through the statement that Alan made, which essentially was we are probably going to be lucky to come up with some constraints, and we're just starting to talk through what those constraints might be. What Alan started off with, and I think I'd like to pursue as well, is it's a larger question of who the stakeholders are. And I've been, just in the 2 days that I've been here, lots of definitions of who the stakeholders are, and generally the stakeholders extend far beyond just the ICANN community. I mean, if you think about what ALAC is actually representative of a far wider group of people than the actual people who are here. It represents the community, and ALAC is always down as representing the internet users. So in fact, even if we confine the definition of who is a stakeholder to ICANN, the effect of putting ALAC in ICANN is to say we represent the users. So we have a real debate about who the stakeholder is, and we're just following the conversation with Garth. And I should have identified myself as Holly Raish, sorry.
Garth Graham. As I was reviewing the summary of the ATRT2, if I've got that right, what struck me coming fresh to it is how incestuous a document it is. It treats accountability as everybody inside ICANN looking inside to ICANN, answering to each other inside ICANN. And that strikes me then that ICANN's necessity to achieve global acceptability means a cultural shift of a far greater magnitude than I had been led to believe, because it does not look outward. It looks inward. And that ain't going to do it for accountability on a global scale. And the second thought I had when I got to that one was how important the role of ALAC becomes in relation to the users in the world community. And I went, when I was asked for an issue, and I presented one for Telecommunities Canada, the issue I identified, and this is as an example of what I mean by an external focus, is the issue of local governments accepting that they have a responsibility for internet governance in a digital economy, and they don't. And national governments don't either. And it's ALAC's role to achieve that in the world. It's not ALAC's role to argue with other constituencies of ICANN about what process is. And so that somehow that incestuousness has to turn outward. And even in the discussion that I went through yesterday, it's not yet turning outward.
That is a very interesting thought. Alan, before you head off.
Your wording implies something, and It implies you're looking at the context of the ATRT in tomorrow's world, and that's not its context. Its context is the ATRT is one of the, quote, oversight mechanisms to ensure that ICANN is meeting the commitments in the AOC, which is a commitment with the NTIA. It very much is an internal document, an internal process. We're looking at a world where there may not be an NTIA, there may not be anyone, or there may be some other group that is that provides our threat, as I was using the term yesterday. The whole issue of accountability and transparency today is twofold. One is, if there is no NTIA to look over ICANN's shoulder, what should make the rest of the world comfortable that somebody is looking over our shoulder, or we don't need anyone to look over our shoulder? So that's in the general ICANN context. in the sense of if I can is now given the responsibility of, without any oversight, of running NTIA, of running IANA. And right now, IANA is a contract issued every 5 years by the NTIA to someone, currently ICANN. The importance of ICANN's credibility increases because it's now not just ICANN setting GTLD rules, but it's ICANN running the day-to-day process of IANA. So the credibility of ICANN, the import increases when you look at the IANA question. And what we're looking at is what does ICANN, in my mind, what I think we're looking at, it's not well defined, is what does ICANN need to do to itself? How do we need to reform ourselves so that we can convince the rest of the world that we can be trusted? Either trusted just to do the ICANN functions and perhaps trusted to do the IANA functions, although there could be some other mechanism associated with that in addition to it. So you're right. The processes that go along with the AOC are internal processes. That's, I don't think that's incestuous. That's by design. Family dinners aren't incestuous. They're designed to be family dinners. But we're looking at a different world now.
Actually, that is an interesting point. I think where that takes us is to look back and what did we say about accountability, and are we talking about accountability not to ourselves but more broadly? So we revisit what was first said, which was the ICANN community. And that's where we started with your observation, it's a broader thing. And then if it's a broader thing, then it does raise issues of how we do that. We've just about got everybody, I think. I know, well, we're missing... We're missing about four people, but that's okay. Sorry? Jonathan 1 and 2, except Jonathan 2 doesn't want to be called Jonathan 2. He wants to be called Jonathan. We'll just call him Jonathan. Jonathan, as opposed to Jonathan. I know, you've got to go.
I have to take my leave. I'll join you again at 3 o'clock.
Okay. You are now the reporter.
Well, I have been taking brief notes.
I wasn't sure if they had told you yet or not.
No, but since you're late, I was kind of taking some brief notes. But anyway, yeah.
Consider this my placeholder.
Okay.
I have two comments on what was on the discussion so far. The first is with reference to your earlier statement that at large represents, in some sense, users at large. This is all very well, but it's part of the design. But as things stand at present, in most countries, the numbers of people who would recognize the at large, and particularly the ALS in their countries, are very small indeed. And we do not yet have a degree of recognition and credibility that would contribute very much to the credibility of ICANN as a whole. So there's a lot of work to be done on that front. The second comment would be that, in I would guess quite a majority of countries, mostly outside the Europe and the United States and North America, but the vast majority of countries, if they listen to this debate about opening and being looking outward, would say that's okay. But the only institution we have that remotely represents the interests of our internet community in our country is our government. And there we move distinctly in the direction that NTIA has already tried to close off with the statement that they do not accept a transition to an intergovernmental solution. For the sake of argument, I support that warmly, but it does aggravate the proposition that we were just discussing, that ICANN as a whole must incorporate into its processes and even into its into the IANA processes a much wider concept of the interested stakeholders than what we've got at present. So I think on both fronts we have a great deal of work to do.
Let's just take a little pause. No, that's not my computer. You may have that computer.
Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get things set up. I'm sorry.
5 minutes. Heidi, right here you go.
Yeah, don't worry.
Okay, a couple of issues that we're going to pick up from yesterday, some other issues as well. We have accountability and transparency. We have perhaps a recommendation coming out of what was said by Ellen and what was also said, which is how do... If the role of ALAC is to be more broadly representative, are there recommendations that come out of that? And maybe we can tease that one out. Now, where we go from here, I think we've talked about accountability. Maybe we should talk about who the stakeholders are. I know we don't. Where is Carlos coming? I think we'll just have to let. I think the next task is: do we actually agree that the ICANN community is defined in terms of the various institutions, or is it a broader community? And how would we define that? So we only have about three groups now, I think. Do you three just want to talk amongst yourselves for 5-10 minutes and just how would you define the community? And from there, then we actually go have to look at accountability for what? Because we've talked what we mean by accountability now, but then I think we need to drill down a bit and say accountability in what way? We've mentioned finance. What else have we mentioned?
Decision-making.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's actually not get there yet. First of all, I just want some thought on stakeholders. And then we're going to list accountabilities. And because Heidi's going to look at me very strangely if we don't come up with recommendations... we're going to come up with some recommendations. So can we have about 5 minutes and then we'll have two sides of the table, I think. So this, you guys are charged with being really clever. No, actually, Pua, you can go over on that side. You've just joined that side. And I want to know who the stakeholders are. Because when we talked about accountability, we talked about accountability to whom? So this started a discussion as to accountability to whom. And if it really is internet users, then in fact it's probably going to frame some of the recommendations we've come up with. Okay? So I'll give you guys 5-10 minutes. And then we'll start using butcher's paper. Everybody's not awake. You're all, it's like, this is going to be hard work. Yesterday everybody was buzzy. Today everybody is just, oh my God, this is too hard. I wonder, would coffee help? Coffee or a different venue? Sometimes just actually getting out. I know. Oh, look. Move your chairs into the corner where you can talk in a bit of a circle. Look, I can't, at this late stage, I can't change the room. And it may be that at some point we just go downstairs and occupy about five couches and have a conversation.
Think.
Would that would be? Heidi, can we do that?
Interests that are beyond the personal.
So just come back about
try and come back a broader but there's no sense in which they didn't ask the users.
Yeah.
And there was like nobody there.
People who.
Right. Listen, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go scout out another because we need. The point is, though, ultimately we need to have this recorded. Once people talk, this is what gets people going.
For user representative.
Otherwise, people are just sitting there looking shell-shocked.
2000,
now,
I think.
Heidi, what do I do about the fact that about five people have...
There was an election.
We can take a roll and go to
five regions.
We can also say, please go to your...
I can stay in here, too, if you tell me where you're going.
The result was
send people that way, too.
Basically,
okay, that's a good idea.
By the rest of the ICANN community. And the reasons for not accepting it.
We haven't decided.
Okay.
So what materials do you need?
A very small
at this stage,
voted.
I think we're doing okay with just butcher's paper and people writing. Just getting people's brains
States.
At the moment, having said it's difficult, they've managed.
Came with a degree of critical input to ICANN.
But I'm just trying to see where people are as well. So give me just a moment.
Other parts of ICANN.
Look, we knew Hong was going to go, we knew Martin was going to go. But the two Jonathans aren't here.
That
might just be
Tatiana.
But the result was
I said
a couple of years later.
They announced they were coming at 8:30 when I said 8 o'clock.
This idea of having directly elected user representatives on the ICANN board was rejected. I'm not sure that ICANN's ready to go back.
I'm hearing recommendations though.
That whole process. Just to give an illustration.
I think it's
you're talking about getting together with GAC, establishing relationships.
Last time the representative was elected,
these are all positives.
German chaos.
Personally, I was thinking about
the hackers' group
issues this morning.
Oh, good.
Very intelligent young man. Totally unable to use his knowledge and
define who will be
political representative to
whom they doing
adjust to change the ICANN process. All he achieved was to be completely blocked.
Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
What we're talking about, we've just started this conversation.
About one
we opened up a kind of
representatives of user interests in the whole of Africa. How would you
Garth
organize
made, where
an election
he
of
read
user representatives in the whole of Africa?
And said, you know, it's a really
they tried to do it, and
document that what.
What's his name from Ghana?
Really ought to be
about
it. Suddenly, ALAC becomes so much more important.
But there is no sense that you could say that
this should be about
global interests.
And so, what we're doing is, with that thought in mind, we've gone back and said, well, let's rethink what we mean by stakeholder and ICANN community. Who are we responsible to? That's what that group is now. You have to take on the charge. You have to take on the
earlier, we have a lot of work to do in this area.
Take them all on.
Particularly if at large this is...
I'm sure you will.
Representation of user interests.
Are you okay? Are you better?
And large itself has to do a great deal of work.
Well, you know what I think? I think you're probably...
I'm Catalan.
Well, not only that, I was thinking maybe by lunchtime just... Wait a minute. Jonathan is feeling decidedly unwell. Now, can we? Can he watch? If
users in Catalonia, even Roger, who is actually an IT specialist in Catalonia, knows all the
crazy
ways
he
works.
Yeah, I think
if you stood up and said, I represent all.
Why don't we say 9 o'clock? We'll get back in the plenary session. Yeah, no, you just, if you don't feel well, you don't belong here. You belong looking after yourself. Seriously, you don't want to get any sicker than you are. Okay?
And you can get an extent of that.
You're right. Now, do you want to join that group or that group?
The bulk of my group isn't here.
I know.
Suggesting.
Yeah, we're back to two groups. I don't know where the other Jonathan is. I don't know where Carlos is. I don't know where Tatiana is.
Probably making similar decisions to me, hopefully not in ways they won't regret.
Well, they can't have done anything more silly than we did, which was, what time did we get in? 11:30?
Around there, yeah.
Wasn't my plan at all.
I don't know what to do about that.
Of course not, it was Evans.
I was talked into actually going out. I was just going to, Maureen and I were just going to go across the street and have a quiet night. Didn't work.
Yes.
Well, last night, Maureen and I were going to have a nice quiet meal and have an early night. And we got talked into getting on the bus.
That's what you should do. That's what got raising. It's back in the city at least.
Oh, that was dumb. So we got to the pub, or rather, we got off of the bus. The bus driver said, "Now, end of the street, go right," which was actually the wrong direction.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we went to the wrong.
So we went to the wrong place, as you know. And then, what time did we leave? Evan said that we were going to eat. Somebody that was just down the street. Well, Evan's idea of what down the street is was halfway across town. So we would have hiked for, 20 minutes? Half an hour? 25 minutes later, this really short half a block thing has become a trek. And we arrived at the restaurant at about 10:30 or something.
Yes, that would be fair.
Then we have dinner. And luckily it was only a 5-minute walk.
That's Spain, not London.
It was not intended at all, so...
That actually is a good preface to our paragraph.
You can complain all you like,
that
sounds perfectly reasonable. Then again, I come from the same territory.
That's right.
just go through that line of
argument again, slowly.
What we'll do is we'll come back.
I can take dictation.
All
9 o'clock so that Jonathan can. We're going to be, in fact, I'll have to be using that computer if we are going to.
We aren't questioning.
Beyond Adobe.
Although I think at this point our feelings for heaven are quite on record.
The method of representation of users,
yes.
Internet users.
Okay.
Or are we?
That's good.
But assuming we're not, then the question becomes, how does ALAC define or redefine community? And who are ALAC stakeholders?
The trouble with I prefer to refer to ALAC than ALAC, because ALAC is just the committee upstairs which claims to represent at large, and I sometimes even have doubts about that, because the ALAC committee, the large advisory committee, is certainly is elected by the large structures.
I think Alan's right.
I
think Alan's characterization is right, that it was a very inward.
So let's refer to that large anyway.
You know, it was about accountability within.
You raise an interesting question about how representative those levels of representation are.
I certainly would have, if I was outside this process, I would have questions about that.
I would agree, it is a problem. Yeah.
Power is never any.
I just said I'm used. Definitely a user group in the context of a digital world whose constitution.
Who did you locate?
Specify that no one is in charge.
Yes, but more to the point, why is Occupy Wall Street not here?
Good morning.
Great. Write that down.
How are we this morning? I was thinking we didn't have any Jonathans, and now we've got.
That begins to frame the argument.
Well, no, the other Jonathan was very sick. And had cold sweats and whatever, and I thought.
I went to the CSG meeting with the board, which is a kind of sickness.
And we can have a recommendation that's crafted around that. Now, we are, if you can join this group, we are just. Where we got up to was a discussion about stakeholder, and the comment that Alan made before he left was about the fact that the stakeholders are broader than just the community, unless you actually say the community is everybody who uses the internet. So that's where we're up to. The groups are now actively awake, sort of. Almost talking. Some of them actually went out for dinner and had this long walk to some unknown place after too many drinks. And some of us.
Paddington is well known.
Well, not to some of us. So some of us haven't actually had a lot of 8 hours sleep. But we're going to cope today. We are, I will use my computer to get into the Adobe room. I don't know if the rest of you want to, but because Jonathan Too, now that he's not here, I can say that, Jonathan Too is going to be accessing us remotely. He's going to be in his room. I don't want him back here. He will make the rest of us sick. you can't come into a conference and be sick and then breathe on everyone and then say it's been lovely seeing you. Right, back to discussion.
So I'm going to be going into another thematic group just to observe. So our tech support, Fred.
Woohoo, Fred!
He's going to be the remote person. Okay, so if you need to have anything on the screen, then you'll be able to get that. They'll be back shortly.
Okay.
Would you like anyone like a Coke or water or anything? I can get that for you.
We're about $1 million in the pony.
Not really.
Would we like...
A pony? Is that what you said?
Yes. Well,
details are very important in wish lists, it's true.
Actually, to give Gisela just a little bit of time, I bet she can get up.
Yeah, you're right, she would.
Okay, so would you like, anybody like water?
What about a Coke?
Like
a Coca-Cola?
The Coke.
I can rot my teeth.
Anybody else?
Your teeth,
a
yes.
A diet
Coke, Coke, and a water.
If you're taking orders, a Coke would be very
okay,
small.
Okay, two Cokes, a Diet Coke, and a water. Water.
There's caffeine in it.
I'll bring a whole bunch of waters.
Okay. Now, have we got a link to the Adobe Connect here?
Yes, it's icann.adobeconnect/LRH50-Hilton3.
There's got to be a better way. Yeah, okay. How do I get the appointment? Because I usually just... Wait a minute. Here we go. Yes.
Or if you have the one from yesterday, it's the same one.
Christopher Reeves, yesterday. We do more work. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was.
You have the whole room listening to you.
Or do you want to just use this laptop?
No.
I thought we were still in a group.
I did too. I thought so too. But
let's just do this.
I was just. I guess my point is that I think that. There are things that we can do to make participating in the ICANN processes better. And I think comment periods in particular would benefit from an exercise in simplicity that here are the key issues that are being discussed. This is what's really being decided here so that you don't need to become an ICANN veteran in order to comment.
Are we listening to him? Are we getting this down?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to have you record it, that's all.
Right. I like to be anonymous, but I just started in a conversation here, but I was asked to turn on my microphone. I think it's a separate effort to make ICANN a more approachable and accessible organization, and I think that that's a critical effort for sure. But I think trying to extend the concept of institutional accountability out to the undefined, stakeholder as of the internet user is an attempt to boil the ocean, right? And is impractical. Oh. And so I think that to do those two things in parallel, which is come up with, legitimate sort of accountability structures within the ICANN confines, is one, effort that needs to happen. And another one is to find better ways for the average person or small business. Those are the people I represent because I've brought them to ICANN meetings, and it's very difficult to get them to come to a second one. Because they find the whole process very obtuse, and so I think there's a lot that can be done in how public comments are handled to greatly simplify the kinds of questions that are asked and make it easy for people to understand. But I think conflating those two things will make this task a philosophical one and not a practical one. I mean, that's just my.
I don't mind. I'm brave. Are the rest of you brave? I think what you've said is that if we're talking about accountability, it may not equal accessibility, except in the end, if our stakeholders are out there and cannot access us, does that then become an issue of accountability? We are not listening.
No, or
we don't make it easy to listen, be listened to.
And I do think that that's a general problem. And again, one that ATRT has struggled with mightily, and I don't believe have gotten yet.
you know, haven't come really come up with a solution for yet.
Does anybody
I think,
else want a Coke?
Again, I think the solution lies somewhere in boiling things down so that they're more approachable for periodic engagement. What ICANN doesn't really permit now is periodic engagement. You're either all in or all out in terms of how you participate, and the notion of periodic engagement, I think, is how you end up with wider engagement. So I think that is a problem that needs to be solved. But I think that, you know, predicating an accountability structure on solving that problem will not happen in the time frame that we've been given to try and solve this, you know, during the IANA transition or, you know, et cetera. I mean, I think we need to find structures of accountability, and then we also need
transparency.
Well, not just transparency, but yeah, as Christopher said yesterday, you can have this kind of obscurity through transparency, where I just throw so much information out at you that your mind is blown and it's functionally opaque. And so there needs to be actually a proactive effort at functional transparency, which I think comes through simplification. So I mean, I'm a huge fan of that effort. I do believe that they're related. I think without that, you don't have true global accountability. But I think structurally building that into an accountability mechanism is impractical.
Excellent. And Kerry is sitting here very patiently waiting to talk.
I think you've hit on a key point for me. I think back to the XXX, and when there was a huge public outcry from religious groups and everything, Twitter was full of it. People did not know how to contact ICANN or how to make their opinions known. So that's a big part of the accountability, is making it known and easily accessible for periodic issues, like he was saying, where somebody's interested in an issue but not the general picture. They're just interested in that issue. There needs to be a way for them to get input into the ICANN process.
That triggers something this morning, and I'm the chair, you know? Isn't that a bitch? We were talking this morning, I was at the a CCNSO. Hands up, everybody who knows who does not know what a CCNSO is. Country Code, Name Supporting Organization. Those are the .au. Okay. And a question from the ALAC vice chair was about where can somebody find information in one place about a particular country code? You know, how do I complain, or how do I get a country code something, or whatever? And the answer is, well, it's publicly available. It's in the IANA site. Now, how many people wanting information about their country code registry are going to immediately spring to thinking IANA? See?
I can speak to that. I'm on the board of directors of a country code. Honestly, the best place to find out information about country codes is Wikipedia. If you type in .ca or .au or whatever, you'll find the Wikipedia link to their, whoever manages it, you'll find the link to their website.
Do you find no small irony in it's much easier to go to Wikipedia than it is to ICANN's website?
Very much. Ridiculous.
Okay, so it's accessibility of information, participation by issue as opposed to sitting around this table, wishing I were not sitting around this table. Although I do wish I was sitting around this table. Are those starting to be some of the things we're going to make recommendations about? We still have to come back to accountability, because if we don't talk about accountability and transparency, I will have failed. Can we go back to the ICANN community and either define it differently or split it into community for what? Everybody is back to being just... Do you know, I think the only thing to do is just be in little groups talking to yourselves.
Scott Sullivan for the record. We keep talking about how to represent people. Are the at-large structures not that mechanism? I'm sorry, but I'm here on behalf of a chunk of constituency that is very localized, that I spend the time to get to know and know what their needs are, and then I come to these meetings. So, yes, there are avenues for it to go in, and as... Kerry was pointing out, local-oriented knowledge works a lot better in some cases. The Wikipedia example. We maintain our own mailing lists and our own information. When you go to ask something, a question, you don't necessarily know the words. ICANN doesn't have a meaning to a barber, but he's got a problem with his domain name. So he immediately turns to the first person he thinks might know. And this is the degrees of separation problem. How many degrees of separation to the information they need is acceptable? And I don't have an answer. I just want to put that on the table as something for us to think about. Certainly, my organization, we get a lot of questions because we are the people that support the end users. So the more information I can put in their hands, when it comes time that the barber is asking, well, what do you know? My users, my professionals, my hobbyists will be able to say, go to ICANN and find this. How do we resolve the problem so that it's easy for them to say that as opposed to Wikipedia? I think that's a fundamental question here.
Or is that part of our recommendation set? I'm going to think of it. Carlos? No. Christos?
Christoph.
Christoph. C-H-R-I-S-T-O-F-F?
P-H.
We're getting there. Christoph?
Okay, this is Christoph Bruch speaking. For our discussion, I think it would be helpful to distinguish several kinds of accountability, at least two. One is the accountability that Scott was just referring to, which is in a wider sense an accountability or transparency also. And the other notion, at least in my imagination, is the professional accountability, which would mean that you have a professional, more semi-professional body that looks in more detail at what ICANN or whatever entity is to be controlled does, and also is able to enforce rules which the larger group of stakeholders, which has an interest in some kind of accountability of ICANN, is not in the position to do. So I think, and maybe we need to think about some terms to distinguish that, because the two discussions constantly overlap.
Garth, you're going to write on the butcher paper.
Not in my handwriting.
Does anybody have legible handwriting? Because I don't.
No, but I'll try anyways. I do it in front of a large group of people, and they don't complain too much.
Okay, I want to put on the board accountability two kinds, because I think this works. We have the ATRT2 type, which is almost an internal accountability or internal to the ICANN community. Do we not? Jonathan 1 is going to...
Ironically, I think what ATRT, part of what ATRT has tried to address is, in fact, external accountability. When you look at how comment periods are handled, are the discussions that take place in the meeting happening before the end of the comment period? Are things boiled down in a way that they're accessible to anyone to try and understand? To me, those are the mechanisms of periodic access or periodic involvement in the ICANN process. So in that way, ATRT are dealing with external accountability. And that, in fact, this new process that was somewhat motivated by the IANA transition, and so there's now a separate accountability effort that's taking place, is more about what you sounds like you're about to call internal accountability. I guess I would say that one is a kind of structural accountability,
okay.
And the other is, you know, public accountability / accessibility that I think it'd be easy for ALAC to say need to go hand in hand, and that there could be a kind of footnote that says here's the structural mechanisms for accountability that we think ought to be put in place, but we also, as the ALAC, believe that these will not be entirely successful without also improving the organization's accessibility in these areas, because true accountability to the world, the stakeholders around the globe will come through greater accessibility or something like that. I mean, I guess I'd say structural accountability and public access and accountability is maybe the two types.
I've got to start talking here.
Is there any judicial mechanism for informational requests to ICANN? To whom I can apply this informational request? Who will control reaction on this informational request? For example, law on access to information plays a very important role.
I think there are a couple of answers on that one. You can generally, going through the ICANN website, if you're a little bit familiar with it, get an awful lot of information. There's a huge amount of information. If you're talking about the concept of freedom of information, what you're talking about is freedom of information in relation to a United States, California-based company, and so you'd have the relevant freedom of information laws that would apply. But that's a fairly narrow way of looking at information, not just what people have to put into the public, but what they do put into the public domain as a matter of course. And that's always, look, every corporation will always have information that is not made available, and that is as it should be. The question is, where the line is drawn in terms of is something commercially in confidence and therefore not available. There are usually a list of exceptions to freedom of information under freedom of information laws, and that tries to strike a balance between the protection of an organization as opposed to the sorts of information that should be made public. So one's a legal answer and one's a... I think we're not dealing with the legal answer here. I think we're dealing with what information should be made available to the greatest extent possible. Jonathan?
I guess I'd say that ICANN releases a lot more information than is the norm. I mean, there's quite a bit of information. So I think one of the questions is how they make that information available. But I think you were asking, is there a point of entry for the public to ICANN? And there are several. You can reach out to staff with a question by posting it on the website. You can reach the ombudsman office within ICANN if you want to provide feedback into the organization. And there are the public comment periods that are published. If you go and look, you'll see the list of open comment periods, and those are, in fact, open to the public. And whoever responds to them, their comments are incorporated into the summaries that are created by the staff. So there are points of entry into the organization for the public, all of which could be better, but they exist at least, right? That there are ways to get in touch and to get questions answered if you want to.
Scott here. That certainly addresses transparency, and I think we are right in separating out transparency versus accountability, because I don't think that answers the accountability question at all.
What I'm going to do is put up a slide that ICANN itself publishes about its accountability, I think we ought to have a look at that and see if that actually answers the questions or if it raises more questions, because that's ICANN's view of its accountability, and we're finding it. I'm just finding it.
You want the document stored?
Yeah.
Okay. So should I send that to you?
But Scott, I think just to answer your question, those are meant to be mechanisms of accountability because they are entry points into the organization. A means to raise an issue with the ombudsman is a form of accountability. To provide public comment on topics that decisions that have been made or are in the process of being made through the GNSO process. So those are meant to be mechanisms not just of transparency but of accountability because they are mechanisms to take input from the public. So, again, I don't believe that they in any way are sufficient to mechanisms of accountability because they're a little too incestual in a way, right? But I think that they are meant, in fact, to be mechanisms of accountability. And it is also possible to request that the board review one of its decisions. That's another, and that'll be on this slide as well. There's another way to get some form of accountability from ICANN by asking the board to read something called a reconsideration request that they have to then decide on, et cetera. So there are mechanisms of accountability that are on the slide that we're about to see. The question is whether or not something needs to happen that's somehow external, I think, to ICANN, in addition to the internal mechanisms and improving those.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's a lot more clear. Thank you.
We're about to see the slide.
Jonathan, I have a question for you. At the ATRT2 group, you mentioned external and internal accountability. To our understanding, external accountability primarily means it is handled through external mechanism like AOC or NTIA stewardship or even the judicial review by court. This what I'm understanding, the external accountability, right? So it's external to the ICANN institution. The internal means ICANN board reconsideration. That's internal. So for the ATRT2, you talk about many internal, this reconsideration, IRP. Did you also talk about the external one? Yesterday I heard from you, you mentioned the judicial. That's quite interesting. You mean in addition to the current judicial, the current jurisdiction that's based on ICANN registration, you mentioned another domain name court, like international court?
No, right, and it wasn't me. My little subgroup suggested the possibility that an additional accountability mechanism might be some kind of judiciary, if you will, and maybe that's the wrong term to use because that usually means judges, right? But some kind of judiciary that's made up of, in fact, the community is what we were talking about, with group one, was the idea of should there be a appeals process above the board that is, in fact, back to the community itself. And I think that, so a cross-community, permanent cross-community working group, I think is maybe a better way to put it than a judiciary, yeah. But it could play a kind of judiciary role. That was sort of the recommendation of group one yesterday. And that's on top of that's right, on top of the mechanisms that currently exist. As you say, you can take them to court in California as well, and so, to date, only contracted parties have done so. Right, because they've got a clear path to court because of contracts. But in theory, any of us could take them to court in California, and you don't need to be American to do it either. And in fact, I believe that things like the affirmation of commitments are more valuable as a commitment than they are as a contract. And so, in other words, when ICANN makes a promise to operate in a certain way, they actually fall under the jurisdiction of all consumer protection agencies around the world that I can then go to the European Commission, for example, and actually bring about a review of ICANN's adherence to its own commitments under European law because they made those commitments publicly.
we're having a bit of a, there we go. Okay, it's hard to read the script, but I can help you a bit. This is a chart, this is an ICANN chart, so this is how ICANN views accountability in its own context. And I'll read, for those of you who are not reading on the screen, it says the little text up in the upper left, ICANN has a proven commitment to accountability and transparency in all of its practices. In order to reinforce its transparency and accountability, ICANN has established accountability mechanisms for the review of action for in or inactions taken by the ICANN board. So in one sense, this is already limited. This is the context of how the board sees its accountability. And Garth has a comment. Garth?
Garth Graham, early this morning, when we began the discussion with very few of us still in the room, I made the point that ICANN was incestuous with respect to issues of accountability. And Alan chose to inform me that I didn't understand the context of RT2, and certainly that document reinforced my sense that ICANN was incestuous. But this document really does it for me in spades. That comment about members may raise questions to the board is a circular argument of insidious intent, to quote T.S. Eliot. It is completely internal. And there is nothing inherent in this process that reaches out to create a climate of global acceptability for ICANN. It's just not there. And I think that some of the notions I've heard since then about periodic or issue-specific kinds of things actually work towards what I called yesterday answering before the fact, or clear statements of intent or impact statements that are simple devices that you can use to say what it is you intend to do, what task are you addressing, so people can find that someone is addressing a task and what that task is. And after the task is done, they can say, well, what was the intent and was the intent achieved? Those kinds of mechanisms need to be built in when you move towards global acceptability. But this is purely incestuous.
A couple of comments, and then we can go on with the conversation. I think there is a place for internal accountability. I think what I'm hearing you say is this is not the whole story. This is trying to check on its own processes. We're talking about something else. We're not necessarily not talking about this, but if we're talking about in the IANA context, then I think we're talking about something else as well. The other comment I would have, if you look at the Ombudsman stream, which is the third stream, I once asked the Ombudsman about how many complaints he gets and what happens to them. The interesting thing is 80% of the complaints he gets are beyond his jurisdiction. He can only handle what's in his remit, which is very small. One of the recommendations of, I think, ATRT2 was expand the remit because you'd have to say, where else do you go? Because most of what he does is refer people someplace else. I said to him, it would be interesting to know, even as a research project, what kinds of problems are people bringing to him that they cannot solve? Because that would be a very valuable resource for the organization to learn what are people troubled about? They see the word ombudsman, they go there, and the first thing they're told is, I can't help you. Now, he does take the second step, and he does then point people to someplace else. But if we're looking at external, looking at internal, and trying to work out where to go, the obvious channel does not have jurisdiction most of the time. And maybe one of the recommendations is to look at the jurisdiction, well, to look at if his jurisdiction is not being expanded, then how do you handle complaints that people have if it's not an ombudsman? Karen.
It's Kerry Brown. You've hit on a very good point for me, that there needs to be either the ombudsman or somebody within ICANN that is responsible overall for tracking this type of thing so that things don't fall through the cracks. So there needs to be some sort of mechanism within ICANN that when a complaint or a question or something comes in, that's tracked. Was it answered? Was it not answered? Where did it go to? How was it dealt with? So that when problems crop up, that things aren't getting handled, ICANN knows about it and can come up with a mechanism to handle them in the future.
Maybe that is one form of accountability, which is when people try to access ICANN, how are they being dealt with?
Yeah, the other entry point is obviously contractual
Jonathan,
compliance.
Is Jonathan one?
Oh, sorry, this is Jonathan Zook.
I'm the only one not allowed to identify myself.
This is Jonathan Zook for the transcript. I'm going to change my name to for the transcript. So the other entry point is contractual compliance. So they receive a lot of external inputs as well. Again, often things that fall outside of their jurisdiction. And I think that one of the reforms of that Maggie is trying to put in place, she's the head, Maggie Surratt is the head of contractual compliance, is trying to put in place is to find a bucket at least for things, everything that comes in, even if it doesn't fall under their remit. And so, I mean, so maybe, you know, carries on to something that there ought to be a global database that both the ombudsman and compliance feed into so that there's some sort of issue tracking even for things that that fall out of people's little fiefdoms. But there's quite a bit that comes through compliance as well from typical end users. Like, my a registrar wouldn't change my, won't give up my domain because I want to change registrars, or they expired it and they took it away, and, you know, things like that are all things that come through. So those are more typical user complaints, if you will, that are actually coming through compliance.
Do we have any further? Actually, I should be the one, Holly Raish, for the transcript. But we'll just be for the transcript one and two. For the transcript, Holly Raish, maybe one level of accountability is an understanding of the people who approach ICANN, generally online, because there isn't too much else you can do, for what information and complaints, whatever. And was the issue addressed? In fact, we could always just look at the website, the home page, and see how easy it is to navigate. I think that's already led to a couple of recommendations. Are we happy with that? That goes to, by the way, accountability to the larger community, does it not? I mean, if we're talking about accountability and we're talking about the larger community, that's one way of being accountable to them. We haven't talked a lot about internal accountability, and maybe I can just bring people, do people want to go through this chart to see if there are holes in this chart? I mean, Garth, you just gave up. You threw your hands up and said, this is proof of incestuousness. I won't deal with this.
Garth Graham, that would be a conclusion that's different from my point. If you, this is clearly ICANN's statement of accountability,
yeah.
And it says, if a member has something that bugs them, this is how the board sets in motion stuff so that they can be answered. To paraphrase,
yeah.
So. ICANN felt that need and addressed it in this manner. I'm not questioning that.
Okay.
There is a need for internal accountability, and this is how ICANN does it. I don't know it well enough to know what the gaps are or where the differences are. So, no, I'm not rejecting this. It's a useful tool for what it does, it seems to me.
And this is Jonathan Azook again. The ATRT2, as you said, did go through and look at these internal mechanisms of accountability and made recommendations for strengthening them. So, I mean, to some extent, that exercise has been gone through in terms of finding the holes in this. So the question is, what are the holes that this leaves in overall accountability? I think that's kind of Garth's point, is that what do we need to do that isn't even attempted to be covered, you know, in this diagram?
I think that's the next issue. And do we want to spend 15, 20 minutes on saying what we're starting to do is, I think, have two streams of accountability. One is to the larger community, and we've started to flesh out what that is. The other is internal, in the sense of ICANN to its own community. And we've got to tackle both. I think both are important, or am I wrong? Are people comfortable we're working on recommendations for both? Because what I'm thinking of doing is saying we can all go have coffee, because I'm just looking at that cup of coffee going, oh. And saying, one side of the table, we can go sit and have coffee and work on perhaps internal and the other external? Or do we both, or do we just want coffee?
I guess I continue to be concerned about that distinction between internal and external. I think that what we're talking about are two different forms of external.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why I was saying structural versus accessibility or something like that is the distinction, because this is the internal, and I think we're not trying to rehash the work of ATRT, but instead say what's necessary beyond what it currently exists as internal mechanisms, and what should the external mechanisms look like. And so then there's this notion of structural external accountability, and then the more kind of ethereal but still as important global accessibility and accountability through, you know, I don't know what the word is, practical transparency as opposed to impractical transparency, right? So they're both external, I think.
Well, we've got a bit on the board, sorry, our butcher's paper, which we will fill out. We've got Hong and then Scott.
But Gaz raised his hands before me.
But he's already talked. He's after Scott.
All right. I think we should follow what Holly mentioned. Let's see whether there are holes in the current picture presented to us. And is there some gaps about internal accountability that has not been addressed by ATRT2? For example, yesterday a young man mentioned the issue of dispute resolution policy. I guess that's something that should be addressed by ATRT2, but it's not. Actually, CSNSO made a submission to comment how to improve. The DRP is kind of outsource of decision-making, but sometimes you go back to ICANN board, you see the string confusion decision is so much inconsistent, ICANN board will have to take it back and take some ad hoc approach to review that. I guess that's something interesting. Another thing I think is we should go back to Jonathan's mentioning about cross-community, cross-constituency review group. They review the decision of ICANN board. This has been mentioned in the ATRT2 report already. But that is the cross-constituency working group to review the IRP. So our discussion, we want to talk about something new, or we want to talk about to reform and improve the IRP.
Scott has the pen. Now, how are we going to capture Hong's suggestions? Because they're very good ones. And meanwhile, Garth can talk. Do you have something to add? And then Scott, because you're going to put up Hong stuff. Now, Hong, can you help him formulate? Because we've got accountability.
Garth Graham, I feel that I'm repeating myself, and
it's all right.
And yet, I am not sympathetic to the task of filling in the gaps in this, because the problem that confronts ICANN is moving out from under a controlling influence from the U.S. government onto a world stage where it has to be in some sense accountable in some way. And to me, that's the issue that needs to be addressed. And that's the area in which we need to make recommendations. And it may be ethereal, but it's still the reality. And so splitting it into the two tasks, doing the internal and doing the external, I don't think there is an internal review necessary for discussion in this group. I think it is the external orientation of accountability and transparency that needs to be addressed. I think it's Scott's example of how to make it relevant for the community that he represents is where we have to push our thinking, and that's not easy to do.
The only comment I would have at this stage is to point to Hong and some of the things that are in the ATRT2, but about how to handle some disputes and stuff which are external. How do you deal with, first of all, transparency where you go, and then, all right, for another example I'll give you. Another working group I'm in is the, you know, acronyms, here we go, IRTPD, and it's about the access of a registrant to a particular dispute resolution process. Now, registrants cannot initiate and cannot be party to it. And if a domain name has been transferred wrongly and their registrar will not take action, then they really are up the proverbial creek without a paddle. What the group has been saying is there are two things that need to be done to address that. One is to say registrars, if they are requested by the aggrieved party who's lost their domain name, compliance ought to be able to say to the registrar, don't drag your feet, you have to initiate a process on behalf of the registrant because the registrant is not part of this process, they're not a party. The other is to put on the website in words of the English language that can be easily translated how to go about that. Now, that, in one sense, that is a very internal process. You know, how many people are going to actually look at the website for ITRPD? You're not. You're not going to see that. Unless you're sort of in the community going, by the way, the internal processes have to be looked at in terms of dispute resolution for the benefit of the external who has just been aggrieved. So I'm not sure I actually agree that we are looking only outward, because a lot of the inward stuff absolutely impacts on the out, on the outer. End story. Now, do people actually, are they dying for a cup of coffee?
Sure.
I'm not going to let you go. What tasks can I can assign to you so that the coffee is constructive? Because we have to come up with recommendations, and I'm already seeing some. But Heidi said we need 10. That's the price for the water.
Scott, for the record, I think quality over quantity is preferable here.
We'll trade water for quantity, okay? Well, I still think, Hong, can you lead a discussion about your feelings for improvement of internal processes? Yeah.
The compliance, you're an expert on that. You can work on compliance.
Right. For the internal part, well, to my understanding, there's two gaps we can try or attempt to fill. One is the DRP reveal. It's become quite messy. And for the compliance, well, you raise a very good point. How to make compliance accountable? That's very, very...
We've been trying for months, years.
Yes, especially for registrants, for users. That's a very good point. Yeah.
All right. Hong is going to lead. We're all going to go... Do you want some coffee? We'll bring some coffee.
Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you, though.
We're going to have some coffee. We'll be back here at 15:15. Now, I want a couple of discussions. I want at least a look at the internal that impacts on the external. But the other is the external, and maybe we can flesh out along Jonathan's lines, which are the, let's say, the structural, what are your terms, structural and...
Structural accountability versus, I was trying to find a word, but accessibility or something like that. You know, how do we get external accountability to the people we don't know yet?
And Scott is probably going to lead that one because you're the one who has all these constituents who want to know the way in. So if we can come back, because we've got to come up with some recommendations.
Scott, for the record, I'm not necessarily they want to know the way in. I just want them to be peripherally aware so that they can direct people
doesn't
whether
matter.
They know it or not.
It doesn't matter. We're going to have... We're following up on how do you, if you will, the accountability of ICANN in the sense that people can actually understand it's there, understand how to access it, and what recommendations might follow from that. That's just broad brush. Now, we've got to have coffee or tea. And then people, otherwise they're not going to. Now, is there coffee down in the downstairs? All right. Otherwise, everybody's just not going to. Yeah, I know.
That's not allowed.
That's staff.
I can't stop.